We're going to dive right into the message this morning because we're continuing our message series entitled Spiritual Roadblocks. It's not a fun series to go through, but it's good. It's good in the end, right? It's construction season in Pennsylvania again, right? You see it everywhere. It's not just in PA. It's everywhere, you know, but we just seem to love it here. You know, Pothole City, you know, you name it, it's there. Yeah, obviously the reality is none of us like road construction, but just about all of us love driving on that newly paved, newly painted highway. I mean, there's not much that compares to that. It's a good feeling, you know, the open road. It gives us a sense of freedom. It gives us a sense of adventure. You just got that feeling like anything's possible. It takes you back to your, you know, the old days when you're 16 and first got your license, you know, that sense of freedom and that sense of excitement. So we love it when the job's complete, and it's a lot like our spiritual lives, right? We don't like to wait. We don't like to stop. And we don't like to work on our issues. We kind of like to shove them under the rug and just keep moving forward, right? But we all know, remember what happens last week, we talked about this. If you ignore those construction signs and you just figure, hey, I'm just going to keep moving forward, it's not going to end well. It's not going to be pretty, okay? The reason that God puts construction cones and signs up in our lives is not to make your life miserable. It's not because He hates you. It's not because He's punishing you. It's because there is something awesome in your life, and He doesn't want anything to hinder it. He wants to take care of the issues in your life when they're little bumps and cracks in the road. He doesn't want to wait until they're giant potholes that are busting your axle, you know, before He works on it. But that's usually when we like to work on things, right? When you've got no other option, no alternative, that's when we like to work on them. God, He likes to take care of things a little better because why? He wants us to carry throughout our lives freedom and adventure. He doesn't want us to be hindered. He doesn't want us to be held back. He wants you living life full throttle, okay? Six gear overdrive, fast as you can go. That's how God wants you to cruise through life. But for that to happen, there are times when He has to do some work in our lives, right? And, you know, it's a little bit like this. So throughout this series, we're going to be talking about different spiritual roadblocks that God wants to take care of in your life so that you can live life unhindered. We talked last week about the spiritual roadblock of the world, right, and kind of unraveled that confusion. It's not that there's anything wrong with the world. God created it and said it was good. He loved it so much that He gave His only Son for it, for the world. Absolutely, yep, for all of us, for our sins. Mm-hmm. Yep, but He has some big miracles in store, right? When He said, I can't wait for those words. When Jesus, whenever we're all in His kingdom, He says, behold, I make all things new. I can't wait for that. Whew, yeah. Mm-hmm. Biggest battle in history, right? The last battle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that one. I'm going to have to check it out. It's going to be something like that. I love it. Yeah, so the cosmos. You guys have all heard that word, right? In the Greek, cosmos, the world. So the issue with the spiritual roadblock of the world isn't that there's anything wrong with the world, it's our hearts. Do we love the things of the world more than we love God? Because that's a spiritual roadblock. When we love the created things more than we love the Creator. God created the world, it's good, He wants us to enjoy it. God wants us to enjoy the things of this world. He does. But they can't be equally or more important than Him. It's not and we talk about this, so many root issues, so many addictions, so many, you name it, sin issues, they all go back to this root of worshiping the created things, you know, instead of the Creator. So many sin issues come back to that. So, this week, we talked about that last week, the world defined as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, right? Pride being just relying on the things of this world, not relying on God. Not like a prideful arrogance, you know, but that pride that you just trust in the things of this world to solve all your problems. This week, we're going to be talking about cravings. Cravings. Because I don't know if you've noticed it or not in your life, but we were made to crave. We just were, you know. You can't help it. And it kind of ties in with last week's message, but we're going to just kind of focus and amplify this a little bit. Because that's what makes this spiritual roadblock so difficult. Because we were made to do it. You can't help it. It just happens. It's just an automatic, natural reaction. We were created with this inward hunger and thirst, is how we often refer to this craving. Just a hunger and a thirst. And we look to all kinds of different things, to fill that void. You know, the things that we can, anybody remember the five senses? Shout them out. Right? Good. You can just shout them out. Yep, sight, taste, smell, touch, right? Hearing, yep, those things. So, you know, I don't know about your house, but I know in my house, if I throw some thickly cut bacon in the oven, about 10 minutes later, my kids are hungry for bacon, right? And not to say, you know, myself. The sense of smell, it's a craving. You drive past Longhorn Steakhouse, I'm hungry for steak. You know, it's just an instant thing. You're out playing around a golf and an unexpected thunderstorm comes through with all of its wind and pelting rain and then the hail starts. What are you craving all of a sudden? That little shack of a shelter that you never even noticed before on that field, right? Or on that course. Right? All of a sudden you're craving that shelter to get out of the storm. When you're discontentedly single, right? And you happen to drive past the park and you see this couple holding hands and they just seem like they're so in love. What are you craving? You're craving that relationship. I don't know about y'all, but I had this one recently. When your bladder is full and both bathrooms are taken, I don't know why that, you know what I decided in that moment? The dogs are out of water. So, you know, you're trickling and you hear that and you're like, all of a sudden you got a craving. You got to go. All right. That sound of trickling water. When all that you do in your household is fight and argue and bicker and complain, I tell you what, you start craving peace. When you're all alone, man, is that a good feeling. You know, whenever you're standing around at work and all the guys are talking about last night's game, all of a sudden, you start craving knowledge of a game that you cared nothing about the day before, right? Anybody ever experienced that? Like, man, I want to be a part of that. Belonging. We have this craving for belonging. When that song comes across the radio, right? It takes you, like that one from, I can't believe it's been that long. I had to look it up because God kind of spurred that in me. Yeah, all of a sudden it takes you back to that place when it was you and God. Or that song takes you back to when you had your first kiss or, you know, whatever. Wherever that song takes you back to, all of a sudden you're craving better days. You're craving the past. I mean, it takes nothing. A sight, a smell, a sound, a touch, you know, and it just takes you back and it makes you crave something. And I could go on and on and on, obviously, you know, but we are all craving something. And it's funny because our lives, if we stop and look at them, we start looking a little bit like this guy. I don't know if you've ever seen him before or not.
Sit, boy. Hey, look, he's trained. Shake. Uh-huh. Speak.
Hi there.
Look.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh, yes. My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you. My master made me this collar. He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel! My master is good and smart.
It's not possible!
right? So if you ever wondered why your dog just does that, squirrel, you know, our lives are so much like that. All it takes is something, a sight, a smell, whatever, and the next thing you know, you're just like, squirrel, and you're craving that, and it's got your full attention, it's got your devotion, you will give anything for that thing. Do you see how that can become a spiritual roadblock in our lives? That empty hope, that empty promise, that yearning and longing for the created things. We were made to crave. It's not a bad thing. We're going to learn a little bit about it. Because God made us with this innate craving. He just did. So it can't be bad, right, if we all have that. And he intends for us to enjoy the things of the world. He does. But it's simply a fact that the things of this world, they will never permanently satisfy those cravings. You know, they may satisfy them for, you know, a moment or a season, but eventually your heart starts yearning and longing again. And we really don't want to think about that. We don't want to have that reality. We want to think that if I have that, if I just had that relationship, my life would be so much better. I'd be so content and so happy. But if we're honest with ourselves, you know that that doesn't last forever. That wears off and that craving stirs up again for something else. I mean, take a look at the world around us today. It's just a reality. And of course, it's so cliche, but it's so true. It's such a fact that the only one who can truly satisfy those cravings is Jesus, right? Oh, that's not Jesus, by the way. Yeah, Jesus. More of Jesus, less than me. That is how we were created. We were created for that relationship with Him. And it's not just cliche, it's just a reality that when you find yourself craving things, He wants to meet those needs. He wants to meet your needs. He's not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed of your cravings. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit, that God actually wants to satisfy your desires with good things that bring life, that bring blessing. He wants to satisfy those desires. Because the things that we were created to crave are heavenly things that nothing in this world can satisfy. And it's not just Jesus, it's the things of His kingdom, right? What are the fruits of living by the Spirit? These are things we crave. Love. We crave love and we look for it, right? Looking for love in all the right, wrong places. Anyways, it's so common there's songs about it. Just listen to Delilah. You'll hear about all those cravings, you know. I don't know if, does she still have a radio program? I don't know. I know whenever I was growing, anyways. Love, joy. We want joy, right? It's not just happiness temporary. We want joy, peace, patience. We long for these things. We crave these things. Kindness, right? We just want people. Why can't you just be nice to each other, right? Kindness. Exactly. Amen. But all the fruits of the Spirit, these are things that we were made to crave. We crave these things because we were designed to possess them. You were designed, you were created to be full of heavenly things. But those heavenly things, they're not easy to taste or touch or feel or see or hear. Right? They are unseen things. But they are the things that we crave. And nothing that the five senses can discern can fill those needs. Only Jesus can do that, you know, with all of the riches of His kingdom. And when you read through the Bible from cover to cover, you'll find that there was an entire generation that died because they were too stubborn, too hard-headed to learn that lesson. This was the lesson that God was trying to set His people free. You see, they got free from the Egyptian bondage they were in. They didn't have to make, you know, bricks with clay anymore and get mistreated. They thought that was their freedom. But God knew that they were still bound. Though they had walked away from Egypt, they were not free from their bondage. Because they still crave the things of this world. In fact, they so craved the things of this world that they wanted to go back into their bondage so they could have them things. I want me some fresh pheasant right about now, right? Yeah, that's what the Israelites wanted. They wanted some meat between their teeth. Yeah, sure, man is great, but I want some substance here, you know? So God sent enough quail. It's like, what was it, like 3 feet deep for miles? And while the meat was still between their teeth, gone. Like, God wants us to walk in true, complete freedom. And that was a lesson that there's an entire generation that was not able to walk into the promises of God because they chose bondage instead of true freedom. They were that close. They got to see it. Remember, Joshua Caleb came back with the other 10 spies. They got to see it. They got to taste of it. They saw how good God's blessings were. But yet they whined and they complained and they moaned and they groaned. And we can all amen that because we all do it because we wanted something else, right? I don't want to be a part of that generation. I don't know about you all. I don't want to be that generation that's so stubborn and pig-headed that they missed out. They wandered and wandered and they never received the promises of God. I want to be that generation that walks into it, right? Knowing that if God's with us, nothing can be against us. Doesn't matter how big and scary all those enemies are, right? We got this. We got them, right? But they found a reason. The whole journey to grumble and complain about something. Read through the account. Instead of just being thankful for where God had them. Instead of just being thankful for what God was doing and where He was taking them. Right? And parents can well relate to that. If you've ever taken your little kids on a road trip, right? They don't care about where you're going and how good that place is. They're just whining and complaining because they're sick and tired of being in the car and he's touching me and she's breathing and they smell funny and, you know, name it, right? But the reality is, and I love this quote of C.S. Lewis. He said this, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." I'm telling you, you were created for better things. You were created for things that nothing in this world can satisfy. And that should excite you. That should be awesome. You were made for so much more. So much more. And that so much more is freely available to you. Freely available to you. Because it is God alone who can satisfy our desires with good things. And when we faithfully do our part, He faithfully does His. He's always faithful. Whenever it comes to His promises, they're always yes and amen on His part. He's always faithful. He's always good. But man, I don't know, my heart, it's a little creaky and wavy and squirrel, you know. God, I love you. I'll give anything for you, but not that. Come on, God, not that. Seriously, are you going to take me there again? I don't want to, no. Right? Isn't that the way we are as humans? Right. But look at this. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1 through 4. Because the reality is that life really becomes as simple as this. Living by God's word and not living by whatever craving arrives in our lives. That's really the promise of receiving all these things. Just living by His word, and He will bring everything else to you that you need. And I love it because God will so often give us, I think I talked about this last week quite a bit, He will actually give you the desires of your heart. He will actually give you those things you crave when they will not be a stumbling block to you. When you will not worship them, you will worship Him, right? He will add to you the cravings and the desires of your heart. He will give you the things of this world whenever you can be trusted with little. Deuteronomy 8 tells us this, to be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today, right? This is God speaking through Moses. So that you may live, so that you may increase. Do you hear God's heart in this? To go into the land, to follow every command, so that you may live, so that you may increase, so that you may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led them all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. It's always a heart issue. Are you craving the things of this world, the created things? Are you craving your Creator? It said to test you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger. And then He fed you with manna, which neither you or your ancestors before you had known, to teach you something, right? That man does not live on bread alone. You remember another guy that quoted that? We're going to talk about that in a second. Jesus, right? The very first way He was tempted. God humbled you Your clothes did not wear out. Your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Can you imagine being on foot for all that time, walking and wandering for 40 years, and yet your shoes don't wear out? Your feet don't swell? Like, we don't see those things. God's blessings are poured out into our lives in an abundance, but we don't notice those things. We notice, man, I got this crink in my back, you know? We always focus. We always emphasize. Let's just say it. We always worship the negative things in our lives. We don't see that 25-year-old shingled roof that's been lasting for 40 years, right? Whoever stops and praises God for those things? I'm telling you what, that is the provision of God. That is a miracle of God watching over you and protecting you. We always, yeah, we woke up this morning, for Pete's sake. We got some reason to worship, right? Something to be thankful for. Come on, let's put things in perspective a little, right? But those people, even though God miraculously, can you imagine that? Every morning, there's food for you out there. What would have been Friday, there's double, so that you don't have to go out on the Sabbath day and collect it. And if you keep it a day more than you're supposed to, it molds. Like, how can you deny God's miraculous provision and His love and His faithfulness? But yet they found a reason to complain the whole trip. They complained against the leaders. They complained against their circumstances. They just whined and moaned and complained. And man, Lord, forgive me, because I am that person so often, you know. But we don't want to be. We want to be people of worship. Cravings. Remember the cravings. That is exactly how the enemy tested Jesus, right? In Matthew chapter 4. And I'm not going to read through it just for time's sake. But what was it? Satan tempted Jesus in those three areas we talked about last week, the things of the world. The first thing, right? He's been fasting for 40 days. So what is he? He's like, turn those stones into bread there. Because I bet he was craving, right? Don't you think Jesus was a little hungry? I mean, he was in the flesh, just like you and I. He was hungry. That bread sounded good. So Satan tempted him in that way. But what did he say?
No!
That's right. No! What did he quote? You just read it. Yeah, man doesn't live on bread alone, but every word of God. Jesus learned that lesson. He learned it the easy way. The people who kicked the bucket, they learned it the hard way, right? Let's learn things the easy way. How about that? Let's learn from other people's mistakes and not make them ourselves. But anyways, yeah, that's the way that Satan tempted Jesus. Every single time Jesus stood, he stood his ground. He stood on the word of God and he succeeded. He succeeded through every temptation. He did not satisfy the cravings of his flesh with the things of the world. He chose to trust that his heavenly Father had something better for him. He chose to trust his heavenly Father's word. Not to shortcut to his blessings, but just to trust God through that process. Because making decisions based on the craving that we are having here and now will create so many spiritual roadblocks for you. If you find yourself always in the yielding position, if you find yourself always at the stop sign while everyone else is zooming past you in life, this is good evidence that you may be falling for this. Right? Satisfying the cravings of your flesh in the here and now. It's a spiritual roadblock. Many, 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 many spiritual roadblocks go back to this one root issue. And I don't know about you all, but I'm thankful that Jesus didn't satisfy the cravings of his flesh, right? The way that he, I'm sure, wanted to. He was obedient. He was obedient. Now, and take Esau for example, right? I know I post this pretty often because it's just funny. But Esau, right? He was a skillful hunter. He was his dad's boy. Firstborn, right? And then you had Isaac, right? Yeah, Jacob, Isaac, Esau. Let me get them all straight here. Jacob. Jacob was the mama's boy. Jacob hung out with mommy around the tents, right? Mm-hmm. He did, yeah, right here in Genesis chapter 25. And I'll read through it here real quick. So the boys grew up. This is Esau and Jacob, you know. Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So you got daddy's boy and mommy's boy here. Classic. It even happened in the Bible, you know. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. And he said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of the red stew. I'm famished. Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is my birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear it to me first. Swear it to me first. And so he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread, some lentil stew. He ate and he drank. He got up and left.
Birthright?
The very first boy in the family, for especially in Jewish culture, they received everything. And even in our culture, it's still pretty common. They receive the blessing, right, of the family. So like in our house, it would be Nathaniel. I would sign over my house, and he doesn't want our accounts right now, but whenever they're big and beefy, Becky's $40 401k is signed off in his name, you know? Yeah. But yeah, you pass down a blessing to that birthright. So what was happening was he was giving that up, and he was handing over his entire inheritance to Jacob. And of course, we know Jacob became who? The nation of Israel. It wasn't just. And think about this. Us as fathers and grandfathers, you're passing something down to your kids that is way more than earthly. It wasn't just the natural inheritance that got passed on to Jacob. God honored that. God honored that, and he passed along the spiritual inheritance to Jacob, who became the nation of Israel. And here's the words that are written after that. Simple words. Esau despised his birthright. We're all guilty of it, you know. We've all given into our cravings in the here and now, and we've all got the testimony of regretting it after, right? You know, whether it's, yeah. I look at my wife and she's thinking, well, which time? Which time? Yeah, we've all got some of those regrets. But, you know, sometimes those are, as we were talking about in our group a little bit, sometimes those are life's best lessons, right? The ones that you learn the hard way, those are the ones that stick with you. That sting just never, even though the Lord brings healing, it just never leaves as a reminder and as a lesson not to go back there, right? Because probably even before Esau had taken that last spoonful of his lentil stew, I bet regret started kicking in pretty fast, right? It's a harsh reality. And take a look at that. The entire course of history, of human history, was changed because of that one moment when Esau gave into a craving of his flesh. There you go. Yeah, and there it is. I didn't even have that in my message. From the very beginning, right? It was giving into a craving here and now that led us to where we were at. I love that. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure all of us are sitting here this morning and it's probably kind of stirring in your minds of what your life might be like had you not. I can sense the enemy doing that, so don't let him do it. Because guess what? Nothing's too hard for our God. He can restore anything that's lost. He's not concerned about those things. You know what those things are called in his book? They're called forgiven. Yeah, history. He's more concerned about our future because that is what is unshapen. That is what we have control over, really. And so because of that, the devil still knows today just what temptation to lay out before us, right? He tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and you know, he loves to leverage our cravings here and now. Right. Mm-hmm. He does. He leverages those cravings believing that we won't choose self-discipline, right? Isn't that a fruit of the Holy Spirit? Self-control? He is banking on the fact that you're not gonna practice self-control. He is banking on the fact that you're gonna give in to your craving here and now. You're gonna satisfy that desire, not trusting that God's gonna satisfy it with something good down the road, right? Because to do so requires humility on our part, and alertness, and patience. Not many of us have those things, right? So that is why this is written. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. Now we always quote these scriptures, but we never quote them together. And in case you haven't noticed, they're actually written together in the Bible. So take note of this. Peter writes and he says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. So keep that in mind. Whenever I say your time's coming, it's not a threat. It's a promised blessing of God. So remember that if your pastor ever tells you that. Just wait, buddy. Your time's coming. You should leap for joy. Yeah! Yeah, it's coming. Your time is coming. God will exalt you. He will bless you. You will prosper in due time. Yeah, this is kind of the scary part. We're getting there. Now, we quote this part, too. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And I always quote it from the Amplified. Cares, worries, anxieties, right? Because this life likes to wrap us up in them. We're supposed to cast all those things on Him because He cares for you. And then we quote that separately. Again, these are connected. And then we quote this separately. But it's all connected. It's all one thought. It's all one idea. To humble ourselves, trusting that God will exalt us at the right time. That helps us not to be filled with anxiety or worry or care. And I'll tell you what, anxiety, worry, and care, that is why we read the next verse. Be alert and of sober mind. See, when your mind is in a driving a million miles a minute and you're just worried and the enemy's just like, this is great. He doesn't have to do anything. He just sits back and watches you go. Right? I don't know, our kids used to have these cars that you would pull back and then they would go, but they'd always spin around and stuff. And I just kind of picture that's like what the enemy does. He's just like, whoop. Yeah, exactly. And you let go and you have no idea where that thing's going to end, but you know it's not going to end well. It's going to crash, right? That's what He loves to do. Anxiety, worries, cares, whenever we are filled with that, it tells us here to be alert of sober mind because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And what are we supposed to do in these situations? Just resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that the whole family of believers all throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not alone in your worries and cares and anxieties. You're not alone in the attack. You know, you've got family that's been there and going through it. We need each other. So, we see this. Why does the enemy prowl around like a roaring lion waiting to pounce? Because he knows that if you're craving something, it's going to happen, right? Because the devil prowls around waiting to devour us with our own cravings. It's just a reality. And it never ceases to amaze me. I've heard so many of these stories, and some of these are my own, you know, that, for example, okay, husband and wife are arguing, you know, and so the husband's like, you know how husbands are, you know, they're trying to get away from their wife, and their wife is just chasing them all around the house, and they want to talk about it, you don't want to, you know. So, man, you go down to the gas station, or you go to Walmart, and guess what inevitably happens? Your old high school flame just happens to be there. Just happens to be there. Right? Isn't it amazing? Stories about how someone, they received this huge bonus check to pay off some bills. But then they received this incredible offer in the mail for this family vacation that they've always wanted, right? You know? Man, isn't the timing coincidental in that? Stories of how you decided to commit yourself, right? I'm not chewing, I'm not smoking, I'm not drinking anymore, whatever that might be. And then you got the worst day at work. And right at the end of that day, when you're just ready to explode and quit and you're done with it, you're at your end, your buddy offers you one. Never fails, I'm telling you, every single time. I mean, these situations, I could go on and on and on and on, and you've lived them, right? The enemy, all he has to do is provide an opportunity. You know, he just always happens to be at the right place at the right time with exactly what your flesh is craving. Exactly there. That friend, you know, that's a shoulder to lean on, you know, that listens to you and whatnot, you know. The enemy just knows how to put these things in our lives. But thankfully, we're not alone in our struggles. We're not alone in our cravings. We have a great defender, right, who is there with us in every one of those situations. And the last time I read my word in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says that he will never let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. And he always provides that right there. Take a look at the back of the church in the center. An exit on the sides. A way out. Jesus will never, ever, ever let you get tempted beyond what you can bear. Isn't that good? And he will always make a way out because he's faithful. And so he's always there with you and for you. I wish he wouldn't put us in those situations. I wish he'd just sweep us away from them. But he puts us there. Why? Well, he allows us to be there. I shouldn't say he puts you there. He allows you to be there because he believes in you. He believes that you are strong enough to make the right decision to walk away. He believes in you. He is for you. He's not against you. And that way out, it's just to be patient and to trust God along your journey. To trust His promise here. I love this psalm. You know, Sharon is talking about the psalms. I mean, I just love this one. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 6 says this. It's a reminder, first of all. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Because isn't that where the battle always lies? Inside my mind, inside my soul. It's just stirring and it's buzzing. And so what do we got to remind ourselves to do? Just praise Jesus through this. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him through this. And another reminder here in verse 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Jesus has a pretty awesome benefit package for those who put their faith in Him. The first thing we all love, right? Who forgives all of your sins. So often we stop Jesus short there. We ask Him to forgive us of our sins, and He does. He's faithful every single time. He will forgive you every time you cry out to Him, but we stop His benefit package there. We're like, we're good. I got my pay, so we're good. I'm in heaven. You know, I got my ticket, so I'm good, and that's it. But Jesus has so much more for us. In fact, He has for us more than we can think, more than we can ask, more than we can even imagine. And I've got a vivid imagination. And He has got more for me than that. And listen to what He promises. Forget not the Lord and all of His benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases. And this affliction with type 1 diabetes, I'm praising God that He heals all diseases, right? Every single one. Who redeems your life from the pit. Isn't that awesome? You are never too far gone for Jesus. He will redeem it. If you screwed up, I've been here before, okay, in my addictions and stuff. Jesus, I'll never do it again. Forgive me, I am so, so sorry. An hour later, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'll never do that again, right? How many times have we, it's not truly repentance, you know, but we've been there. You're never too far gone for Jesus to redeem your life. To lift you up out of that pit, to set your feet on a solid rock. He redeems your life. You know what that means? He's not ashamed of your life. He doesn't ignore the fact that you done screwed up. He doesn't ignore all your sin. He redeems them. He redeems that stuff. He turns ashes into beauty. He brings life from death. He turns those things into something good. They're your testimony. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of those dark things in your life. They are your testimony. Right? He redeems your life from the pit, and He crowns you with love and compassion. He crowns you. Because when you put your faith in Jesus, you're what? Adopted. You're a prince and princess of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He crowns your life with love and compassion. And you can't hide that crown, right? Those should be a mark in your life. People should see your life and see that mark of God's love and God's compassion toward you. And here it is, verse 5, the focus of this morning's message. This is a promise of God, one of His benefits. This is the God who satisfies your desires with good things. Wow. And he goes on, he says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, because the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And we need to remind ourselves of these things, just like David did in the psalm. We need to remind ourselves of all the benefits of the Lord. All the benefits, every single one of them. And then we got to just hang in there. Hang in there and trust Him. Trust that He's going to satisfy your desires. And I love this. This implies your cravings. So often in a believer's life, we are ashamed of our cravings. We think our cravings are bad. But what did we just read? That one of God's benefits is that He satisfies your desires with good things. It doesn't say He satisfies only the desires that He put in your life. The Word of God says that He satisfies your desires with good things. Your desire is not bad. Your desire is not evil. The things that you are craving, that craving in and of itself is not bad. And this is not something that the devil wants you to realize. Because as soon as you do that, you start peeling his claws out of your life. That foothold and that stronghold is gone. As soon as you realize that your craving's not bad, there's nothing wrong with you because of that craving. But God wants to satisfy that craving with good things. Because the enemy wants to accuse you for having those cravings. He wants to accuse you for having those desires altogether. And instead it is what we choose to fill those things with that are good or bad, right? The craving in itself is not good or bad, but what I choose to satisfy it with will either bring life or death, blessing or curses. It's what we choose to satisfy it with. Satan will leverage those desires to cause us to derail from God's plans every chance he gets. He wants to derail you into death and curses. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy from your life. He wants to shortcut you from any blessing that God has. It's just what he wants to do. Why? Because you'll start worshiping him. You'll bust out the old country songs, and you'll start praising your problems. And who's the source of those problems? You'll start worshiping him as your God. You'll start giving him more power and authority in your life than God. But when we focus on Jesus and when we look to him to satisfy our desires, not ashamed of our desires, when we honestly and integrally go to Jesus with our desires and ask him to satisfy them, man, you just kicked him to the curb. All of a sudden you're praising and worshiping him, the author, the perfecter of your faith, the one who designed you with your cravings, and he's going to satisfy them with good things. But the enemy loves to do this, right? And guess what? We fall for it. We fall for it. Clear example, here it is. According to the Federal Reserve, Americans, this is 2017, last year, carried an average of $137,063 of debt. The average household. $137,000 of debt per household. The average income around here is like 30 grand. I mean, you can never dig yourself out of that. Why does that exist? Because I want what I want here and now. When I'm standing there at the register, I want that candy bar. I want that pack of gum. I want that cold, cold soda, right? The sad cravings. I want it here and now, right? It's clear evidence that we don't like to wait for the things that we want. We'd rather borrow now, have it now, and pay three times as much for it in the end, right? Because it's nothing for consumer debt, for credit cards and loans, to be in the 20-30%. You know, it's nothing for that. I mean, you go to like One Main Financial or any of these places, and guess what? You know, you're looking at 20-some percent interest. You're going to pay three times, probably way more than that in the end. You know, they're banking on the fact you're never going to pay it back. But how much better is your quality of life when you work hard, you save up, and you just buy something? When you practice patience to satisfy those cravings, even of the flesh. If that's the case in the natural world with money, how much more blessed and peaceful and tranquil would our lives be if we patiently waited on God's answer to our cravings? How much more free would we be? How much less bondage would we take on if we just patiently waited on God to satisfy our cravings with life? So this morning, that's what God's desire, kind of calling us in to do, is to lean on him. Oh yeah, anyways. To lean on him to receive the abundance of life that he has promised. He wants us to enjoy the things of the world, but the things of the world are fringe benefits. They are not the sole benefits that God has for us. This morning, God is encouraging us to press into him, to hunger and thirst, to literally crave him above all else, the things of his kingdom, to crave those things, and then to look to him to satisfy those desires. What are his plans and purposes for our lives? Okay, we have this craving innately within us, so why do we have it? Go to God and ask him, why do I have this desire? It's probably the key to unlocking his will and his plans and his promises for your life. What is God calling you into this morning? What is He calling you to do? I just sense it. You sense it burning within you right now. You're not sure how it's going to happen. You're not sure why it's supposed to happen. You're not sure when it's supposed to happen. But I believe that desire is burning within you brightly this morning. And this morning, we're going to look to the Lord and all of His benefits. All of His benefits. This morning, we want to give you, over and over again throughout the Scriptures, I love it, especially the prophets of the Old Testament. He would say to taste and see. I'm going to give you my word. And this scroll is going to be like honey to your lips. It's going to be sweet. You're going to like it. It's going to be good. This morning, if I can invite Chris and Nikki to come on forward, they're going to share some testimonies of just to give you a taste, just to taste and see some of the things that God is doing and to believe that He's going to do them right here and right now, right? So let's receive all the benefits of the Lord this morning.